Salat ve selam ala seyyidil mursalin velhamdülillahi rabbil alemin. All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, almighty maker, creator and sustainer of the universe. We send darud and salam upon the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have performed Salatul Isha wa Jama'ah, and we commence now with our lessons on this important subject of life after death. In this, we were engaged for the last two lessons in looking at two very important and very significant poems with regard to the subject of life after death. Both of these poems have been endorsed by, recited by, and deeply pondered over by some of the luminaries of the last century, the awliya Allah of our time, and they have found it deeply moving. It is for this reason, the major one being that my sheikh, my teacher, my ustad, Hazrat Sheikh, Sheikh al-Hadith, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, included these poems in his remarkable booklet on the remembrance of death. And I have thus also been deeply influenced by, attracted by, drawn to these two poems which tell us in very beautiful way, in couplets, as to the importance of death and the need for man to reflect upon death. In a poem, in a qasida, these reflections and important statements are made in a very beautiful way. I want to say here that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, similarly, in the Masjid al-Nabawi, one of the most illustrious poets amongst the Sahaba Ikram was permitted to recite important couplets, verses, poems in the Masjid, in the presence of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of it pointed towards the deen, importance of deen, practice of deen, beliefs of the deen, and sometimes also jawab, replies were given, sometimes even challenges were issued to pertinent questions that prevailed in the era and in the age at that particular time. So this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I say conditionally, the condition being that it must be part of our deen, and very important part of the deen also. It is for this reason that I say, in our subject of life after death, I have included these poems, because upon deep thought and reflection, if we ponder over it, and we think seriously over it, it will affect an impact on our lives. A lot of transformation in our life will also come. We will begin to reflect, to ponder, to review our life, and to bring about the necessary transformation in our lives as a result, not only of the subject of death, not only just because of the inevitability of death, but because death should be remembered by us every day. Many times a day, we should reflect. You know, in our area suddenly, we've had two deaths last week. So, we don't know when and to whom it comes. One of the persons were a healthy person. And it just came, death came knocking on the door and took him away. So, we don't know when our turn will come, but we've got to be prepared. And it is in this, the essence of death lies in preparation for death. These verses, these couplets, this poet reminds us of that. Tonight we're going to look at one. which has also been included by Hazrat Sheikh in his kitab. And when I say Hazrat Sheikh, I mean Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And the title of this particular poem is "Do Not Become a Slave of This Dunya, Do Not Become a Slave of This World." I will do it in two languages. The first language I will do it in, I will recite these couplets, is in the Urdu language, which is spoken by a vast number of people, millions settled in Western countries, English speaking people, so that is the reason why I'm going to do it in English. But I'm also going to recite these verses in Urdu and then give you the English translation with a brief commentary, exactly as I've done in the last two lessons. This is how the poem proceeds. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The following poem warns us of the dire consequences of becoming too attracted and too attached to this material world, so much so that we forget the reason of our existence in this world and thereby lose our way in the jungle of temptations and distractions that is here in this world, that we find in this world, that we are drawn to in this world almost like a magnet. History has, particularly in our time and in our age, history has given us an excellent picture of the destruction of powerful nations and rulers who possessed both power and wealth. Think of Pharaoh, think of Haman and Karun, think of Namrud, think of powerful rulers of the day. Think of the Caesars and the Kaisers. Think of the kings and the emperors of the past. Too many to name. Where are they today? Think of the dictators, the despots, the demagogues. Where are all these people today that ruled with so much power, so much pomp, so much pleasure? Where are they today? They spurned. What happened? History has given us an excellent picture of the destruction of powerful nations and even civilizations and rulers and emperors and kings and despots, dictators who possessed both power and wealth but became extinct because of disbelief, because of greed, and because of lust, because of the fulfillment of their desires. They spurned the message, the invitation of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Anbiya's and the Rasul's. They disdained the invitation extended to them. They showed contempt for the pious and virtuous amongst them, the awliya Allah, all through the ages, all those who believed, accepted and were Muslimin, whichever era, of whichever Nabi and Rasul, those Anbiya's and Rasul's that had true followers, that truly followed their deen, attained to great spiritual heights. They became the awliya Allah of their particular age. These rulers, these emperors, these dictators disdained the invitation extended to them by these pious, true believing peoples. They showed contempt for the pious and virtuous among them. They turned away with pride and arrogance from humility and modesty. Their end should be a lesson for all of us, for the whole of mankind today. The Quran Majid speaks eloquently of their sins and transgressions and commands us, the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to believe in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in La ilaha illallah, to be submissive to all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to accept, to believe in, and to be obedient to the Sunnah the teachings and practices of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow the divine rulings of the Sharia of Islam. There is no other law, there are no other rules that are good enough for us except that which is contained in the Sharia of Islam, because the Sharia has a divine origin. Islam is an all-embracing, all-encompassing faith, and it encompasses every facet of human life and embodies the most excellent teachings and practices of all time. This poem is all about saving ourselves from becoming the victims of the temptations and distractions of this dunya, of this world. We're not talking about shaitan, we're talking about this dunya and how this dunya tempts us, attracts us, makes us desire this dunya to such an extent that we become absorbed in and drowned in this dunya. At the same time reminding us that death and the afterlife is imminent for each one of us. So do not become so absorbed in this dunya that you forget that there is another dunya that is to come, that there is another realm, another world, a barzakh, and then an akhirah which is to come. This is what this poem calls us towards. Jahan mein hai ibrat ke har sau namune, magar tujhko andha kiya rang o boone. Kabhi ghaur hai bhi ye dekha hai tune, jo maamur the wo mahal ab hai sone. The poet says, in this world there are hundreds of exemplary lessons for us on life, but the color and the smell, the attractions and temptations of this world has rendered us blind. Beautiful is a jahan mein hai ibrat ke har sau namune, magar tujhko andha kiya rang boone. What is it about this world? Is there a fragrance? Is there a smell? What is this that draws us, I said, as a magnet, draws us and makes us blind? What causes us to become so blind in the world that we become so absorbed, so thrilled, so excited, so tempted by this dunya, that we are prepared to leave our deen, our responsibilities, our duties, our honesty? We are prepared to do everything for this world. We are prepared to transgress, to sin, to do wrong. Doesn't matter, as long as we gain of this dunya. This is what the poet says. Kabhi ghaur se bhi ye dekha hai tune, kabhi ghaur se bhi ye dekha hai tune, jo maamur the wo mahal ab hai sone. Have you ever examined studiously the places that were once inhabited and occupied and have now become uninhabited and have now become desolate? Where is it now? Have you seen the ruins? Go to Greece. Go to the Far East. And you will see how places, go to Southeast Asia and you will see places which were inhabited. Go to Mexico. Go and see places that were heavily. Go to Egypt. Heavy, heavy habitations. What happened? What happened that they got so ruined? Look at the huge buildings. In many parts of Europe, many parts of the world, especially in the far, in Asia, and you will find all these signs. What happened to these civilizations? Mighty civilizations. Where are these people? What happened to them? Do our eyes open, or have we become so blinded by this world? Jaga jaga ji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jaa hai, tamasha nahi hai. this world is not a place of attachment and endearment, O Muslimin, O true believers, O practicing Muslimin. Open your eyes, open your heads, open your hearts, open your minds. This world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. And it is not a place of show and not a place of excitement. Open your eyes, open your heart and understand. What is this world? What does this world mean to me? What do I want of this world? The poet then goes on and we proceed. Mile khaak mein ahle shaan kaise kaise maki ho gaye la makaan kaise kaise hue na amur be nishaan kaise kaise zami kha gayi aasma kaise kaise. How did men of great dignity and standing become mixed with sand and earth eventually? Can you understand? Historically, what the poet is doing here, he's telling us, go into your books, go into your research, study these huge civilizations, the Aad, the Quran has mentioned plenty of them, hundreds of civilizations, if not thousands, or they say under the sands of existing deserts, there are huge civilizations that existed, that by the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah covered them. Today's deserts hide away huge monumental civilizations that were buried below the sands of the desert. Allah devastated that area of the earth, turned it into desert, churned it into desert. They say under the Sahara desert there are huge mighty civilizations that once existed there, gone, forgotten. Why? What happened? What did they do? Do we think, our civilization, do we think that we can go on inviting the wrath, anger and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do we think that like ancient civilizations have been buried and disappeared, wiped off the surface of the earth, Allah can't do it with us? Is that what we are thinking? How did men of great dignity and standing become mixed with sand and earth eventually? How did owners of palaces and mansions become homeless? What happened? Huge palaces. You can see some of these huge palaces and monuments. What caused them that they became homeless? How did the famous and powerful become unheralded and unnoted? How many thousands of great rulers, emperors and kings forgotten? We don't even know many of them. And how did the notable and famous become devoured by time so that their pride and haughtiness became extinct? Where are they? Where are they? What happened? How come this happened? That's what the poet is asking us these questions. He's saying, Muslimin, think about it. What happened?
Jaga ji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jahe, tamasha nahi hai.
The world is not a place of attachment and endearment, O Muslimin. This world is a place of acquiring lessons, of learning from the lessons of history, of ancient civilizations and ancient teachings, learning about the Anbiya's 124,000 Nabis and Rasuls, which means approximately 124,000 civilizations. Where are they? What happened to them? What caused them to be wiped off the surface of the earth? The world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. And it is not a place of show. This world is not a place of entertainment. Respected brothers, sisters, just think of the world today. Everywhere, excitement. When a person of note, of standing, has a birthday, how do they celebrate their birthdays? Pop concerts? All over the world? singers, dancers, music, entertainment? Is that what this world is today? Laughing, enjoying, merrymaking Muslims, do you want to be part of these celebrations? Is that what you're living for? Celebrate, enjoy, concerts, dances, music, parodies, entertainment. Is that what life is all about? Music industry, film industry, all those things that call. Are you attracted by them? Are you invited by them? What is your mission? Is that part of your mission? The poet continues, Zami ke huwe log pe wand kya kya, muluko huduro khuda wand kya kya, dikhayega tu zor ta chand kya kya, ajal ne bichhare tanu mand kya kya. Here it is, the poet says, what happened to those who were attached to this world? How many rulers, how many dictators, how many despots, how many tyrants were in power once, but for short periods of time only? How many robust, strong and assertive leaders ruled forever? Tell me. The poet asks, tell me, how many robust and strong and assertive leaders with huge armies, brave, courageous, conquerors? Tell me, how many of them ruled forever? How many ruled forever? How did their time and their rule come to an end but by being subdued with death? One day they were there, the next day they were gone. One day they were conquering, conquerors, land after land, nation after nation, wealth after wealth they brought into their kingdom. Then what happened? Either they were murdered, sometimes by their own children, sometimes by their followers, and then what happened? Here's the question. How did their time and their rule come to an end but by being subdued with the coming of death? They had no way out and no escape from the jaws of death. What happened? When death came along, could they say? Could they call their army to destroy Malik al-Maut? When Malik al-Maut knocked on the door and he came and he said, I've come to pack up. This moment, this second you are going, this split second you are going. Could any ruler defy this invitation of Malik al-Maut? Anyone survive? Pharaoh is drowning in the waters. Suddenly he calls out, Rabbi Musa, Rabbi Musa, O the Lord of Musa, O the Creator of Musa, save me, save me. I believe in Rabbi Musa, in the Creator of Musa, in the Sustainer of Musa. I truly believe him. Really at that moment. All the time, for years and years, 30 years, Nabi Musa, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam, as a child, when he came into the palace, when the wife of Fir'aun, Bibi Asiya, rahmatullah alayha, when she went in there, what happened? 30 years as a young man he spent with every comfort you can think of, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam enjoyed in the palace of Fir'aun, every comfort. And then after that, you know the incident, what happened? One day he went and there was a wrestling match carrying on. And then in the wrestling, or a fighting or boxing match, then the one was trying to outdo the other unfairly. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam took and gave him a punch slightly. But the punch was so powerful, the hand of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was so powerful, that what happened to the guy? He died. He passed away, he died. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam, 30 years of comfort in the palace, all of a sudden he had to run, he had to flee for his life, otherwise the armies of Fir'aun would have killed him. So he begins to march and he goes. And then you know the incident is recorded in the Quran Majid of how he went, and he walked and he walked and he walked, and he went into the territory of who? Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam. And they, of course, the daughters of Nabi Shu'aib were at a well. And you know the story, what happened? That what the men used to do is they used to be by the well and they used to draw the water, and these girls had to sit with their goats and their sheep and wait until the men had drawn all the water, and when they were gone, then the girls could first go in there and then they could water. So they had to sit there for hours and wait until they returned. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was not prepared to take that kind of a nonsense, and he drew water and he gave it to the girls. He allowed them to, and then they went and reported to their father, Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, dad, father, there is a man there at that well. The father was in amazement. He says, how come you came back so quickly today? What happened? You came back so quickly. Normally you people come so late, you come so late. What happened today? So quickly you have come back. He said, no, there's a powerful man there, man. There's a powerful man. He saw that justice is done. He saw to it, and he's so strong and powerful, that father. And the father said, well, go and invite him. Did you invite him to come home? No, we did not. They did not have permission. So Nabi Musa, Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam said, go and call him. Invite him to come here. I mean, the man has been so good to you. Ask him to come here. And so the girl went back and said, that my father invites you to come to our house. He wants to thank you personally for your intervention, for the justice you have displayed. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, yes, I will come, but do me a favor. I will walk in front, you walk behind me. I cannot permit that you walk in front. Young girl, he says, I cannot permit. I mean, your figure, your everything is in front of me. How can I permit you to walk in front of me? I cannot permit you. I will walk in front, but you from the back, you walk behind me and you direct me how to walk, the direction you give me. Look at the way of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the attitude. Look at the piety. He did not want that young girl to walk in front of him. And so she fell behind him and she kept directing him, and so he went. And the father was highly impressed by this attitude and this piety. And you know, then the girl said, my father, this man is such a good man, and so on and so on. And the father said, why don't you employ him? Let him work here for us. Let him work for you, father. And he said, no, my intention is that I want him to marry one of you. One of my daughters, he must be. And so the story goes on. But I'm drifting away. What I'm saying to you is that the point I'm making here, what happened to that Firaun? You know how powerful that Firaun was, and Haman and Karun? Allahu Akbar. With, here the poet asks, how did their rule come to an end? But being subdued by deaths. They had no way out, so no escape from the jaws of death. Jagaji lagane ki duniya nahi hai, ye ibarat ki ja hai, tamasha nahi hai. This world is not a place of attachment and endearment, O Muslimin. This world is a place of acquiring lessons and precepts. From where? Not only by looking at the heavens and the earth, not only by looking at nature around us. No, not only looking at the birds and the insects and the creatures around us. Look at them, how they exist, how they've been continuing. Look at the elephants, look at the tigers, look at the lions, look at the birds and the species. Look at the insects and the species. Look at the ants. Allahu Akbar. Enough to tell us who could have... That tiny ant that moves, the birds that fly, doesn't it tell there must be a creator? Can man be so blind? And then, how long? Life does come to an end. We do not see the creator of all things. So when we cannot see the creator, where will we see death? Until death comes along. Oh, this world is a place of acquiring lessons and acquiring precepts. And it is not a place of show. This is not a place of entertainment. The poem that continues, the poet
then continues and he says, Ajal ne na kisra, hi chora na dara, isi sikandar safate bihara, har ek leke kya kya na khasra sudhara, pada reh gaya sab yun hi thaat sara. Death did not leave aside Kisra, nor did it leave Darius. Death came to all. Even a conqueror like Alexander the Great was subdued by death. How did death take each one without smoothing or soothing any pain or agony of death for them? All their glory, all their pomp, all their ceremony turned helpless and useless with the coming of death as the unavoidable end of their reign. Their power could not extend their life. Their power, their rule could not grant them eternity. Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jahe tamasha nahi hai. O Muslimin, this world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons, and it is not a place of show and entertainment. The poem continues, the poet continues, Yahan har khushi hai mubaddal ba sadgham, jahan shaadiyan thi wahin ab hai matam. Ye sab har taraf inqilabate alam, teri zaat hi mein taghayyur hai har dam. In this world, every happiness is transforming into anxiety. Every happiness is transforming into grief and sadness. Here, places of weddings soon turn into places of mourning. There are revolutions and eruptions all over in this world. So then, understand, even within yourself, there are constant changes and fluctuations with every breath. Ye sab har taraf inqilabate alam, teri zaat hi mein taghayyur hai har dam. Allahu Akbar. Don't you see what happens to you? Don't you see how your organs and your limbs grow? And then you reach a certain middle age, and from there you become older, and then you find all the wrinkles coming out, then you find your strength and energy abating, getting lesser and lesser. As you grow, you increase in strength and energy and power, and then all of a sudden you reach a certain age, and thereafter, say about 60, and then after 60, 61, you go towards the 70s, and you find you haven't got that power anymore, you haven't got the energy anymore, you need more sleep, you need more rest, you need... Why? What is it? He says, don't you see these signs in this world? Every happiness is soon transformed into anxiety and grief and sadness. In this world, places of weddings, you find there's a wedding there, and soon a few years later you find, or a few months later you find, in the same house where there was rejoicing and wedding and happiness, there's mort, there's death there, sadness and grief surrounds. Don't you see happiness is followed by sadness all the time? Here places of weddings are turned into places of mourning. There are revolutions and eruptions all over in this world. Don't you see? Countries, please, now, haven't you read in today's news? Today, Monday the 28th of July, 2008. Month of Rajab of the year 1429. Today is a Monday. What do we hear? We hear in Iraq, bombs have gone off.
We hear, what else? In India, half a dozen bombs have gone off. In Surat, bombs have gone off. In Hyderabad, bombs have gone off. Hundreds of people have been killed. Hundreds have been injured. What is this? Every day it's happening. Does it tell us? Do you think that 100 people who died in the bomb blasts in India, do you think any of them expected their death to come today? You think they knew? Innocent bystanders, all of a sudden, in a bin, the bomb blows. And all those people, nearly 100 of them, died. Blown to bits. Is that kind of death expected? No. We find in our country exactly the same. You find innocent people in the driveways, they come home. They get out of the car to open the garage, or they come out of the garage to go to work. And as they come out, robbers come to them, 3-4, and shoot them dead. Is that expected? Did that person expect? He's got a house in front of him worth 3 million, 4 million, 5 million. Took him a long time to build and free that house. He comes out of his magnificent home and lovely garage with a beautiful 1 million rand car. He pulls out the car and he goes, stands out of the car, either to greet his wife and children or whatever, and as he comes out, all of a sudden, a car passes by, stops, and they come out, and they want to burgle him, or steal from him, or his house, and they shoot him dead. Did that person expect? Does it tell us a story of our own death? Do we know anything about death? Do we know? Do we think, no, I'm not going to die now. I'm only going to die after 100 years, 50 years, 60 years. You really think you can count upon that? Here it is. This is what. In this world, every happiness is transformed into anxiety and grief and sadness. Here, places of weddings are turned into places of mourning. There are revolutions and eruptions all over the world. Even within yourself, there are constant changes and fluctuations with every breath. Sometimes you feel happy, sometimes you feel sad, sometimes you... All types of feelings you undergo all the time, there's changes in your mood. Sometimes you are angry, sometimes you are in peace, but goes on all the time. Sometimes you get upset, sometimes you're okay. The poet says, Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki ja hai. Tamasha nahi hai. The world is not a place of attachment and endearment, dear brothers and sisters. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. Learn your lessons in this dunya. And this is not a place, this world is not a place of show and entertainment. The poet now continues. Tujhe pehle bachpan ne barso khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. Burape ne phir aake kya kya sataya, ajal tera kar degi bilkul safaya. Initially, your childhood blossomed and delighted you for several years as you were growing up. What a wonderful age. From childhood, your first year, second year, third year, up to 6 years. What a wonderful life you had. Initially, childhood blossomed and delighted you for several years. Thereafter, youth made you anxious and vexatious. Then came old age and it troubled and worried you. Pains and aches in the body. Hypertension. Diabetes, sugar is high. Blood levels are high. Pressure is high. The knees are buckling. Head aches. All kind of aches, stomach aches, all kinds of aches and pains in the body starts up. Then will come death, which will finally terminate your time on this earth. The poet says, Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki ja hai. Tamasha nahi hai. This world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. And it is not a place of show. This world is not a place of entertainment. Muslimin, understand. Understand this. The young people that are listening to me, what do you have to go for? Concerts, pop concerts, singing sensations, going to clubs. For what? What are you going to these places for? What? How do you measure your life? What is important in your life? There is a hole waiting for you. You know that. What is the cupboard? We pay people to dig that hole for us. What we call the cupboard, we call the grave. They dig it and keep it ready. When we take you, we throw you into that hole. We lower you into that hole. We put you there. We cover you with a ton or 2 tons of sand. There you're going to live much longer than what you have lived on this earth. All alone? No sons, no daughters, no wife. No television, no radio. No entertainment, no revelry. No clubs, no dancing. No restaurant, no cafe. Nobody brings you any food. Nothing of the kind. Nobody prepares food for you. Tell me, how are you going to live and survive there? Do you contemplate? Do you think about that? Or do you say, no, no, cannot be. What? Once I'm dead, finished, earth to earth, dust to dust. Because, plah, I'm finished. My end has come. What is this Maulana talking about, that there is life in the grave? What kind of life can there be in the grave? Really? Are you going to wait until you go into that hole to realize what goes on in that grave? Are you discounting all the descriptions of life in the grave given by Sayyidina wa Nabina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Awliya Ikram? Not worth it? Not worth reflecting and thinking about it? Are you one of those that says, I pass by thousands of graves? In the graveyard, in the Qabristan, in the cemetery, there are thousands of graves. I don't see anybody living there. Let's take a spade and go and clear one of the graves. What will we find? You think there's a living? What is Maulana talking about? You think there's a living human being there after 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, 5,000, 50,000, 100,000, 1 million years? Can there be a living? Allah. Can there be a living person in the grave? Allahu Akbar. Is that how you think? Truly? Negating, denying the haq and the truth? Must Allah show it to you? Must Allah show you that there is really a person who has died for 1 million, 2 million, 3 million years, is living in his grave? If Allah shows it, the whole world will change. But Allah has given. What is the reason? Why does Allah not show it to us? I've given the reason many times. Allah does not show it to us because we have been blessed. Remember, what did our father do? Nabi Adam alayhi salam, when Allah created the brain box, intellect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered it to the whole of his creation. Sun and the moon and the heavens and the earth, the stars and the galaxies, the mountains, the oceans, huge creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were absolutely silent. Silent. None were prepared to take al-aql. None of them. Our father of mankind, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, quickly got up. He almost stumbled. But he got up. He says, oh Allah, nobody wants to take. I am prepared. Give it to me. Give this intellect to me, oh Allah. The sense of reason, the sense of intellect, give it to me, for to me and my children, Ya Allah, give it to me. This is a special gift. And so we have inherited this. So use that book. The poet is saying, use that box. Use it. But don't use it in the wrong way. Use it to recognize Allah. Use it to recognize the truth. Use it to recognize falsehood. Use it to recognize the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it to recognize kufr and shirk. Use it to recognize the risalat of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallam. Use it to recognize the truth of the sharia. Use it to recognize what is Quran and Sunnah. What is good, what is evil, what is bad. That is what we have. The distinction, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, truth and falsehood, permissible and prohibited. Use it for that purpose. But how do you use it? not the way you are spoon-fed, but sit back and think. Endorse what is right, reject what is wrong. The poet continues. He says, this world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons, and is not a place of show and excitement, entertainment. The poet continues,
यही तुझको धुन है रहूं सबसे बाला, यही तुझको धुन है रहूं सबसे बाला, हो जीनत निराली हो फैशन निराला, जिया करता है क्या यूं ही मरने वाला, तुझे हुस्न जाहिर ने धोखा में डाला.
ओ मैन, योर ओनली एम्बिशन इज टू रिमेन लॉफ्टी एंड एम्बिशन एंड एम्बिशियस in this world. You know what is your weakness, O man? Your weakness is you are ambitious, and your ambition is to remain lofty, proud, arrogant, ambitious. In both beauty and fashion, you seek to be fashionable and unique.
Yahi tujhko dun hai rahun sabse bala, ho zinat nirali ho fashion nirala.
Such is your desire, such is your greed, such is your ambition. Does it behove one this time to die to live in such a trendy and stylish manner?
Jiya karta hai kya yun hi marne wala, tujhe husne zahir ne dhoka mein dala.
These external appearances and pretentious fashions have actually deceived, duped and misled you. You want to be women folk? You want to have the latest fashions? You want to be creative? You want to be with it, men? You want to be with it, with the latest fashions and the latest suits, bow ties, ties and all the rest of it? Allahu Akbar, the poet says, does it behove one who is destined to die to live in such a trendy and a stylish manner? You spend so much money on your clothes, so much money on stylish clothes, expensive clothes, expensive suits, expensive dresses, the most fashionable, the latest. These external appearances and pretentious fashions have actually deceived you, they have duped you, they have misled you.
Says the poet, Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jahe tamasha nahi hai.
This world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. This world is not a place of show and entertainment. The poet continues,
wo hai aisho ishrat ka koi mahal bhi, jahan tak main har ghadi ho ajal bhi, bas ab apne is jahal se tu nikal bhi, ye tarze maishat ab apna badal bhi.
Can this world be a place of pleasure, O Muslim? Can this world be a place of pleasure, of leisure and of luxury, when death is staring at us and waiting for us at every moment? For none knows the time of their death. Therefore, emerge from your state of ignorance and transform your lifestyle to an Islamic reality immediately. Don't wait for tomorrow. The poet calls upon us,
Bas ab apne is jahl se tu nikal bhi, ye tarze maishat ab apna badal bhi.
It is time. Emerge from your state of ignorance, from falling into the excitement and temptation of this dunya. Transform your lifestyle to an Islamic reality immediately.
Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jahe, ye dunya tamasha nahi hai.
The world is not a place of attachment and endearment, O Muslimin. This world is a place of acquiring lessons, of learning, and it is not a place of show and entertainment. The poet now continues. He says,
ye dunya hai fani hai mahbub tujhko, hui wah kya cheez marghub tujhko, نہیں عقل اتنی بھی مجذوب تجھ کو، سمجھ لینا اب چاہیے خوب تجھ کو.
You have fallen hopelessly in love with this transient, this passing world, and you have fallen hopelessly in love with this world. What is so amazing and spectacular for you in this world, in this worldly life, that has caused you to become so desirous of this world that you are prepared to sacrifice everything for this world? Do you not possess sufficient intelligence to know that one day you have to depart from this ephemeral world to a permanent abode? O Muslim, realize immediately now the temporariness of your existence in this world, and that you are going to die, and that when you die you are going to leave everything behind. So strive for the future life and not for the present material temporary life.
جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے، یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے.
O Muslim, the world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. This world is not a place of show and entertainment, of joy and laughter and pleasure seeking. Gambling, drinking, wine, pleasure resorts, fun, games. You think that is what this world is? You think that is what this world is all about? You have nothing better to do? You have nothing better to spend your time on? Tilawat, Zikrullah. How much of the Quran do you recite? The word, the kalam, the pure word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pure, untouched up till now, untouched by human hands. No other revealed scripture of the past. Not the Torah, not the Injil, not the Zubur, and hundreds of other pure literature that Allah sent for the guidance of mankind. Allah revealed to the various Ambiyas for the guidance of mankind. Nothing has remained of it. All man has perverted. Man put his fingers to it. Man put his hands to it. Distorted it, corrupted it, perverted it, changed it, altered it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged that man's hand, man's mind can never be applied to the Quran. Allah is the guardian of the word or that is in the Quran. Every salah, O Muslim, you recite the Quran because that word connects you to Allah, your creator, your maker, your sustainer, all powerful Allah. Immediately, every day, 5 times a day, you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man, Muslim, do you realize the power of this Quran? Do you realize the energy that is radiated by this Quran? You go sit in places of show, entertainment, films, fiction. Muslim, what are you doing? You go to places, gambling halls, entertainment halls, you listen to music, you do all the things that you should not be doing, and you know you are doing wrong. Muslim, what are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to yourself? Open your eyes. You have fallen hopelessly in love with this temporary, passing, transient world. What is so amazing and spectacular for you in this world that has caused you to become so desirous of this dunya? Do you not possess sufficient intelligence? Your father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam took this aql and said, "Oh Allah, I will see, I will use it, and my children are going to use it to recognize you, to believe in you, to follow you, to obey you and your messengers." Are you doing that? Is that amanat? Did you take a covenant? Did you say to Allah, all of us, each and every human being that has lived thus far, that is living now and will live and come into life until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, each one has promised in the soul world, each one has promised and said, "Qalu bala, yes my Allah, I give you my word, I will recognize you, I will obey you, you are my master, my creator and my sustainer." Have you kept that covenant? Have you kept that promise? You immerse yourself in this dunya, you run after your nafs, you follow it, you love this world so much, you give up your deen? Allahu Akbar. Therefore, says the poet, Allahu Akbar, realize immediately what is there permanent about this world. Realize immediately now the temporariness of your existence in this world, and that you are going to die, and when you die you're going to leave everything behind in this world. So strive for the future life, the life in the qadr, and not for the present material one. Or strive for the life in the barzakh, the intermediary stage between this world and the akhirah, that you have peace in your qabr, that you have salamity in your qabr. Remember, jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jahe, tamasha nahi hai. This world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. This world is not a place of show and entertainment. Burape se paakar payame padabi, na choka na jita na sambhala zarabi. Koi teri ghaflat ki hai intihabi, junu tabae ke hosh me apne abi. Koi teri ghaflat ki hai intihabi, junu taba ke hosh me apne abi. Have you not received the message that after old age death becomes inevitable? Don't you know that? Has this fact of imminent death not awakened you, startled, or put a check on you in the least bit? Is there any limit to your ignorance and to your negligence, to your heedlessness? How long before you return to a state of sanity from your insanity? Do you seek to remain in a state of delusion and never emerge from your slumber? Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jahe, ye dunya tamasha nahi hai. This world is not a place of attachment and endearment, O dear one, O Muslim, O true believer, O true slave of Allah. This world is a place of acquiring lessons, learning. History teaches you a lesson. And it is not a place of show. This place is not a place of entertainment. Na dil daadae shahr goi rahega, na garwi da shahra joi rahega, na koi raha hai, na koi rahega, rahega to zikr na koi rahega. Neither will the lover of poetry remain, nor will the lover of fame and fortune remain behind in this world. No one has ever remained in this world forever, nor shall anyone remain behind in this world forever. This world, it is only the remembrance of good and pious deeds that remains behind, but the rest will all go into the hereafter, and none remain behind in this world. You will take your deeds, that's all you're going to take. The day you die in this world, nothing. Everything material will remain behind. The only thing you will take with you, it is only the remembrance of good and pious deeds that remains behind to go along with you, but the rest of it will all go, and none remain behind in this world. Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ya ibrat ki jahe, tamasha nahi hai. This world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. This place is not a place of show and entertainment. Jab is bazm se ut gaye dost aksar, aur utte chale ja rahe hai barabar. Ye har waqt pesh nazar jab hai manzar, yahan par tera dil behalta hai kyun kar. Neither will the lover of poetry remain. How many of your friends and companions have left your company? جب اس بزم سے اٹھ گئے دوست اکثر. ہاؤ مینی آف یور فرینڈز اینڈ کمپینینز ہیو لیفٹ یور کمپنی؟ ہاؤ مینی آف یور فیملی اینڈ فرینڈز آر کنٹینیوسلی ڈیپارٹنگ فرام دس ورلڈ ایز دیٹ اوور ٹیکس دم ون بائی ون؟ When the scene is vivid and ever present before you of people, friends and family passing away in front of your eyes, why is your heart still so impressed and tempted by this worldly life?
Jagaji lagane ki duniya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jaa hai, tamasha nahi hai.
This world is not a place of attachment and endearment, not a place worth loving and falling for and becoming absorbed and drowned into. This world is a place of acquiring lessons. Learn and teach yourself the lesson that I have to prepare for my death, because without that I will be lost forever. And this dunya is not a place of show, pleasure and entertainment.
جہاں میں کہیں شور ماتم بپا ہے, کہیں فکر و فاقہ سے آہ وہ بکا ہے, کہیں شکوائے جور و مکر و دغا ہے, غرض ہر طرف سے یہی بس صدا ہے.
In this world, often the sounds of mourning and sadness are heard. Don't you hear it all the time?
جہاں میں کہیں شور ماتم بپا ہے, کہیں فکر و فاقہ سے آہ بکا ہے.
In this world, often the sounds of mourning and sadness are heard. Don't you hear it? From elsewhere, the cry of need and poverty resounds. Don't you hear it? All these people that are here, foreigners that are here, why have they come to South Africa? What is the reason? Food. Seeking to earn something, to eat, to live, to survive. Isn't that the reason they are coming here? Don't you hear it from elsewhere? The cry of need and poverty resounds. Don't you hear it all the time? From somewhere else, the complaints of injustice and oppression, deceit and fraud are clearly heard. Don't you hear it from our neighboring countries? What is going on there? Don't you hear all these problems and difficulties in the world around us all the time?
کہیں شکوائے جور و مکر و دغا ہے, غرض ہر طرف سے یہی بس صدا ہے.
From somewhere else, the complaints of injustice and oppression and deceit and fraud are clearly heard. Know you that from every side the cries and laments of problems and hardships and suffering are heard continuously. Muslimin, does it open your eyes? Does it make you reflect? The continent of Africa is one of the largest food producing continents in the world. Struck by fog, struck by droughts. What is happening in this world? What is happening in the continent of Africa? The whole world has combined to see to it that Africa remains a poor country. A country which is known for consumerism. We are just good enough to buy people. Buy what? Buy the food of people. The rich countries of Europe, of the States, everywhere, to provide Africa with food. So everything will be deployed. Listen to this. Every means will be deployed to prevent Africa and the countries of Africa ever becoming rich and wealthy. This is the design of the world. The powers that be will do everything in their power to see to it that the continent of Africa remains a poor continent. Suits them, because then we are good consumers. So they work in such a way their evil design, well thought out, meticulously thought out, is that Africa must remain a third world continent. So create all the time problems in Africa. Make one nation fight against another. Make one sect fight against another. Make one tribe fight against another. Tribalism. Cannibalism. Cannibalism, I do not mean man-eating man. I mean people remaining in poverty, always fighting over food. For what reason? How easy it is to destroy crops today. Poison the crops, poison the water. Everybody will see to it that AIDS spreads in this country, in this continent. There is a design in this. There's a plan. It's an evil plan, but it's part of it. Part of the design. I'm saying, do we Muslims open our eyes? Do we understand? What are we living for? What are we doing? This is what the Allahu Akbar. Ye jagaji lagane ki duniya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki jaa hai, tamasha nahi hai. This world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons, and it is not a place of show and entertainment. The last few verses now. کل ہوش اس طرح سے ترغیب دیتی تھی مجھے خوب ملک روس ہے اور کیا زمین توس ہے گر میسر ہو تو کیا عشرت سے کیجئے زندگی اس طرف آواز تب ادھر صدائے کوس ہے. In the past, desire and excitement for the things of this world was overwhelming. It was overwhelming you, such as scenes of beautiful places and gardens and orchards and ownership of possessions and valuables. If you secure these material things, then what real pleasure will it bring to you? Wealth, treasures, pleasures. Tell, the poet asks a question, what real pleasure would wealth bring to you? What real pleasure would possessions bring to you? The only thing it will bring to you, I'm wealthy, I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire. What else will it bring you? Anything when you go in the hole, in the grave? Anything in the hereafter when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All that wealth that you have accumulated? All the possessions that you have accumulated? From the one side, there is the beat of musical instruments. And from the other side, there is the sound of flutes and drums. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Of what tangible benefits are these passing phases as real value to life?
Sunte hi ibrat ye boli ek tamasha me tujhe chal dikhau tu to keh de aaj ka mahboos hai. Le gaye yakbargi gore ghariba ki taraf jis jagah jaane tamanna sautara mayus hai.
Hearing these passing sounds of joy and pleasure, this is temporary. All the music, all the fun and the concerts that are being held, hearing these passing sounds of joy and pleasure, these are temporary phases. Lesson teaches us. What is the lesson you and I must learn? You are only being entertained. This is a passing phase, and you are chained to your desires and lusts. O slave, you have chained yourself to passing desires and passing lusts and passing fancies. Lesson took me once to the graveyard. He says, the poet says, lesson, the lesson that you and I must learn. He says, lesson took me once to the Qabristan of the poor and the strangers. A place where there is no hope of life or of living, no entertainment, no music, no joy, no fun, no pleasure. But it is a place where we all have to go. Jis jagah jaane tamanna sautara mayus hai. Then the last couplet. مرکدے دو تین دکھلا کر لگی کہنے مجھے یہ سکندر ہے یہ دارا یہ کیکوس ہے. یہ
کئی کاؤس ہے، مرکد دو تین دکھلا کر لگے کہنے مجھے، یہ سکندر ہے یہ دارا یہ کئی کاؤس ہے.
After showing me two or three graves, listen, the lesson you and I must learn. After showing me two or three graves, Lesson said to me wisely, this is the grave of Alexander the Great. This is the grave of Darius the Magnificent. And this is the grave of Kaikaus the Famous. Lesson asked me, where are they now? Their rule, where is it? Their power, their status, their wealth, where is it now? O Muslim, all of it is gone, never to return again. And you most certainly also have to go there. Bear this in mind. So lesson told me, prepare for that journey into the eternal hereafter. Prepare for this hole into which you are going, where lie Alexander the Great, Darius the Magnificent, and Kaikaus the Famous, from which none shall escape. And you are never going to escape also. You also have to go there. And then the poet says, so beautifully ending off these verses,
Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki ja hai, tamasha nahi hai.
This world is not a place of attachment and endearment. This world is a place of acquiring lessons, and this world is not a place of show and entertainment. This brings us to the end of this poem, which reminds us of our own passage to the inevitable hereafter, to the life in the grave, and thereafter the resurrection, and thereafter the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The conclusion of this life on earth is with death, and preparing for inevitable death is the task and duty of each and every one of us, the high and mighty and the less fortunate ones also. Not being prepared for death means that we have spent our entire life without finding the time to contemplate on death. The demise of our friends and family has not stirred or awakened any thought of death in us. The passing away of people in strange or in ugly circumstances, such as war, such as acts of oppression, such as criminal acts, such as suicides, such as wanton deaths, and so on and so forth, has had no impact on our lives. It is as if we have considered ourselves to be beyond death. That death may touch others, but it will never happen to us. Or we have become so enamored and immersed in the life and temptations of this world, or so involved in material meaningless existence, or so weak in iman due to thinking that we are the providers of our families, or so grossly comfortable and happy with our wealth and our luxuries, or so conscious and tenacious with our power and position, that we pretend that death does not exist for us. Such a breeding of unconcern and disaffection with death is a symptom of a deeper malaise, of assuming that there is simply no life after death. And therefore, all talk of reward or punishment after death, or of a life in the grave, is mythological, it is fabricated. O Muslimin, you really think all this, what I'm telling you about the life after death, this is mythology? This is fairy tales? This is fabrications? There is no such thing as a life after death? Do you really think so? When a person dies, that is the end of his existence, and there is no life after the body has decayed and become part of this earth? They listen with a smile to the ayat of the Quran. They listen with a smile, blank smile, to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the stories of the knowledgeable awliya Allah on the subject of death. And they click their tongues and they smirk quietly. It is when death comes to them the trepidation and awesome fear grips them, and the sight of Malak al-Maut and the group of Malaikas, up to 500, that descend with Malak al-Maut, and they are in front of him, and the veils are removed in front of him or her, that opens their minds and their hearts to the reality of death. It is too late then to seek the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all roads to pardon will be closed to them. Poems such as the above help us to realize the folly of our ways and our thoughts, and assist us to come to our senses before the imminency of our death. The poem calls on us to reflect and to ponder on our own end and our own inevitable death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and guide us all and our families and our children. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana. أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.